How are y'all feeling tonight? Yeah? Is anybody still stressed about everything that needs to be done before the morning? Yeah? Are some of you relieved that family has all arrived after traveling and you're all safe and sound and together now? Is anybody here grieving the loss of someone that they desperately wish was still here? Are you ready to catch a few moments to take a few deep breaths? Have some candlelight, sing some carols, and try and remember what this night is all about. You're not alone. The dash from Thanksgiving to Christmas seems to get more manic every year. Or maybe it just seems that way the older I get. And yet this year, time and again, when I talked to people, they shared a sense of overwhelm and anxiety. "'Tis the season," we all say, tongue in cheek. But it's very real, which is why I offer to you as a guide for recentering yourself the greatest Christmas movie ever made. I'm not talking about Die Hard. And yes, that is a Christmas movie, don't at me. I'm talking, of course, about A Charlie Brown Christmas. Here, who is familiar with this holiday masterpiece? Yes, the Peanuts. It first aired in 1965, and its humble animated drawings and pitch-perfect soundtrack laid down by the Vince Guaraldi Trio, and its spot-on message about the meaning of Christmas has stood the test of time. Charles Schulz, the creator of Charlie Brown and the Peanuts, should rightly be heralded as a theologian, because the whole story that he wrote is biblically grounded and theologically on point. It also captures something unique about how Christmas is celebrated in America and why we so often feel frazzled at this time of year. The movie follows a day in the life of perennial loser Charlie Brown as he bemoans his lack of Christmas spirit. He doesn't understand Christmas, he laments. He knows he should be happy, but he's not. He feels disconnected. In fact, he says he's depressed. As the story continues on, we begin to see why it is that he feels this way. And the message of anti-consumerism that follows is just as profound today as it was in 1965. He finds his dog Snoopy decorating his house in hopes of winning the neighborhood lights and display contest so he can claim the prize of money, money, money. When he goes to his friend Lucy for help at her little advice stand, she first makes him pay a nickel, and then before offering any counsel, does a little praise dance for the sound of cold hard cash in her money tin. The theme of money continues when Charlie's sister, Sally, asks him to help her write her letter to Santa. She provides a long list of specific gifts she wants and then suggests to Santa, make it easy for yourself and just send cash, tens and twenties work. The consumerist critique, however, reaches its zenith when Charlie Brown and his best friend, Linus, go in search of a tree for their Christmas play. Buy a big, shiny aluminum tree, he's told, and it will make everything perfect. But when he arrives at the tree lot, Charlie immediately, of course, is drawn to that one lone little pine tree, sitting off by itself among its other glittery offerings. Linus asks wonderingly, do they still make wooden Christmas trees? Meant to reflect both the post-war retail boom and a sense of unease in a culture that was in the middle of a huge shift, the roots of this commercial focus on Christmas actually go way deeper than just then. In a recent article, religion article published in the Washington Post, the very Reverend Andrew McGowan, former seminary professor of mine, who is now the dean at the Berkeley School of Theology at Yale and an early church historian, wrote about the true war on Christmas that was lost long ago. In it, he traces the ancient practice of observing the season of Advent, the roughly 4 weeks preceding Christmas, as a way to slow down and prepare for the birth of Christ. Christmas, then, was just the 12 days starting on Christmas Day and following until that day of Epiphany when the church celebrates the Magi arriving. When the Puritans settled in New England, however, they fought to suppress Christmas, and with it the observance of all of the other liturgical seasons, such as Advent. It was only in the 19th century, through the popularity of works like Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol and the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas, attributed to Clement Clark Moore, a seminary professor whose father was an Episcopal bishop, it was only then that Christmas and the Christmas experience here in America had a new beginning. Without the strongly established norms of time and tradition, McGowan wrote, a quiet but real battle ensued. The victors were not the believers, but the merchants. For what Americans actually observe today is not that traditional feast of Christmas in the 12 days, but a retail Christmas that begins on Thanksgiving or Good Friday and then ends tonight. How many radio stations are not going to be playing Christmas music much longer? It's because of all of this shift that we feel this pressure to live up to expectations that are created by commercials and Hallmark movies and Pinterest. And it is what Charles Schulz's commentary in A Charlie Brown Christmas reflects, where he brilliantly shows that the shallow promise of commercialism and how it doesn't really make us happy. But that wasn't actually his main point. Commercialism was just the symptom. His main point was about the pervasiveness of fear in the world around us and within us, and that fear that commercialism banks on. And then on the flip side, the power of hope found in the birth of Christ. Back to Charlie Brown sitting down for advice from his friend Lucy at her little stand. The first thing she asks him after he tells her he's depressed is what he's afraid of. Do you remember that? It's a fun scene. Unable to answer her, she starts going through that list of phobias. Are you afraid of cats? Going over bridges? The ocean? Until finally she gets to pantophobia, the fear of everything. That's it! Charlie Brown exclaims. And while it's a bit of a punchline, him sarcastically and exuberantly putting an end to her laundry list of potential fears, it's more than just a throwaway comedic moment. And we know this because of what happens with Linus shortly after. After Charlie Brown's inability to direct and wrangle his friends in the Christmas play, after his colossal mistake in purchasing the small pine tree, and after being ridiculed for his choice, being called stupid and hopeless, and everyone laughing at him, he again laments that he just doesn't understand the meaning of Christmas. He surely hasn't found it in what the world is selling. And that's when Linus and his trusty blue blanket take center stage to share what Christmas is all about. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Now, if you pay attention when watching the show, you will notice something small but essential. During his recitation from Luke's gospel, Linus does something that he never does in any of the other cartoons. He drops his security blanket. And when does he drop it? at the exact moment that he says, "Do not be afraid." The true meaning of Christmas, Schultz shows us, is about how the birth of Jesus has the power to separate us from our fears. It invites us to drop the false security that this world tries to sell us, that we too often grasp too tightly, and which drives our unhappiness. In the birth of Jesus, God gives us the gift of hope, and hope is the antidote to fear. There's a lot of fear in the world today. The climate crisis, political instability, social stratification, and financial insecurity for more and more people. So beware of those who peddle fear, for they are not of God. And pay attention to those who bear hope, and her sisters' compassion and love, for they are heralds of the gospel and bearers of the word of God's word in our midst. And though their voices may be soft, and it feels as if they are too often drowned out by the strident bellowing of fear, remember that the Christmas story, alongside that other great Christian story, the Easter story, promises us that fear will not have the final word. Hope will win. Compassion will shine forth, and love will lead the way. Charles Schultz showed us this too. Remember how Charlie Brown's Christmas story ends? After hearing Linus quote Luke's gospel, he smiles for the first time. He finally understands the meaning of Christmas. And so he takes his sorry little tree, and he skips home in the starlight with the light of Christ glowing around him, while his friends seem to be awestruck and follow him. Upon returning home and adding a single decoration to the tree, he watches it bend to the point of breaking, kind of like many of us feel by the end of the commercial Christmas season. But the story doesn't end there. Christmas is the beginning. His friends, transformed by his Christmas spirit, come together and decorate the tree, and through the love and hope of all of them together, it becomes something beautiful. Hope, compassion, and love overcame the darkness, and on them the light shined. My prayer for all of us in this Christmas season and in the year to come is that when the weight and the worries of the world descend upon us, we can be like Charlie Brown and seek the true meaning of Christmas in our lives, and also be like Linus and drop our worldly security blankets and trust in the promise of a God named Emmanuel, which means God is with us, that our lives will shine as beacons of hope, overshadowing the fears of the world. Amen.